Einstein was a theorist. Newton was a theorist. You know, that put them in pretty heavy company.
Ask the people at Nagasaki if Einstein was a theorist.
Now, there is a difference. I think that the word applied theorist should have been inserted in this article, because Howard Sartin is an applied theorist. He has the theories, but it's applied and implemented in the tools that are given. Very rarely will I look at a second column at a race or base it on any one factor in a race. I want to start where the race starts. And you know where the race starts, when the gates pop open. Not at the second fraction, not at the third fraction, but a horse race is the entirety of this race. This program, the energy generator. Now remember, this is taken from winners, or horses that ran against winners from their pace line, and is not measuring horses against horses. The winner was measured against horses that he ran against. So it, in reality, isn't a velocity as much as it is an energy. You know, you've got to get away from the concept of linear regression. To me, velocity is a bullet coming out of a pistol that's affected only on the gravitational pull that takes the speed into consideration, or the velocity that this bullet is traveling. Whereas a horse race, although it is measured in velocity, this velocity is subject to energy. Now think about that a minute. It's not measured, one horse, the pace line that you took him from, a 60, a 58, a 57, a 52, these are either when he won or when he was beaten against other horses. When these are combined and looked at in the terms of energy exertion, is what is going to happen in today's race. This is one of the greatest tools I used it at Louisiana Downs. I worked the race. Horses at 6 furlongs could win at 70. About a 70.15. Anything over that, they couldn't win. 6.5 furlong was about a 69.25. Most 6 furlong horses that were moving into a 6.5 furlong race could be thrown out.
There is a real good example here. Turn to page 29. Look at these two horses. Supposing these two horses, this high total energy horse, is running against the low total energy horse. Who has the best first fraction? No? The low. Look on page 28. At the low class level, when this horse won the race, he had a median energy of 70.54. Let's presume that he had the fastest first fraction. But today he's moving up to the 56-52 level. He cannot win with a 70.54 at that level. If he repeats that race, the pace line you took him off of, he's not going to win today's race. Unless he suddenly generates more total energy than he had off the wind from which he took it. It's telling you that at one level, the horse is going to run a faster first fraction than the better horse. He's going to run a higher median energy. But he's going to die against them. He's got an early running style, whereas the next level has a sustained pressure profile, and the extreme high has a sustained profile. It immediately tells you when you're putting a horse in to a race in which he is going to die against the competition. You can go to the bank on these numbers if you make enough of them. Now, we're going to have a separate energy thing tomorrow for energy people, so we won't get too esoteric on the differences in the program tonight.
I know a number of people, not only energy but velocity users, that the use of an engine turned completely around.
Yep.
Once they started making the track profile, it made them winners.
It's the most valuable tool you ever did. And this program is so neat.
And the thing is that you can look at different pace lines. You can look at three or four pace lines. If a horse always runs this way and gets beat four or five lengths, then you can readily tell that this is what this horse is going to do today. This is the essence of the methodology, that horses are predictable. And just for one race, it's very doubtful that this horse is going to change his running style. The old El Stupo might get out there and try to change it, but all they'll do is mess the horse up.
Also notice on page 28 that the low class horse who runs those early bird fractions has a better turn time than the high, and he's just a little bit below the average. This is how you use your third fraction. You'd establish a minimum by class level, designating high, low, and average. He can get away with 49.25 if he's running against the kinds of horses he won against. But if he's stepping up, or if he's going in with horses that run higher average total energy, he's not going to make it. Quite frankly, he's an early horse, and if he cannot go wire to wire, he can't win. So you have to determine whether the horse can go wire to wire in today's race.
When looking at pace lines with the use of the engine, be leery of any horse that is a one-move horse, whether it be on the turn, third fraction, first fraction. Be leery of these horses. That's what I call those one-move horses. They have one move. To make this one move cost as much energy, should they have run this race at an even pace all the way around the track. Now, if you don't believe it, go out sometime and just run. Start out slow and make one fast burst of speed for a certain distance. And see what happens. So be leery of these horses. The engine will spot this. It will know, you will know when turn time will stand up. You will know when third fractions are reliable.
Turn to that race again that was on page 18 that Andy Beyer described Thomas having pointed out to him.
So far, he is so far behind at the first fraction that he does have a top turn time. Not C, D has a top turn time, but it's a useless record because he was so far behind. Now, if this were a route or a turf race, you would have an energy generator for the route that would tell you probably that his first fraction deficiency was not that bad. But you'll know. You see, you'll absolutely know. You can tell me. If I ask you, hey, I'm coming to your track tomorrow. I'm coming to Timonium. What are the parameters at this distance? And you can tell me, well, if it's a low-class horse, he can get away with 70.40. But if he's average or high, he has to be around the 69 area. This is a program that has turned many, many people around and will turn all of you around. And something that it takes, I don't know, how long does it take to do a whole day's car? Maybe 12 minutes?
5, 6.
Tom does this, you know, every day for people in the West Coast, daily, all the distances, all the races. And he claims he takes a lot longer than he really does. But how long does it really take?
How long does it take?
Yeah, nobody's describing the variance here, see.
Well, to do this part of it, it really doesn't take very long. It's when I try to project the actual variance at face value. This doesn't take long at all.
Tomorrow, Tom will show you how to project these numbers and to predict the final time.
Let me ask you, and that, back to this race that we were looking at, the one that the buyer used for his article. The thing that would change all of this, because I got several questions at break also, and it leads back to what Jimmy was saying in here, is that if you change the designation of A, B, and C to all early pay sources, then I would play D every time. Because what happens is, when they hit the second call, they're all out of gas, because they will look challenged all the way around and probably will run faster than these fractions show because they're trying to get away from one another. And then their last fractions of 25-3, 25-4, 25-4, Lila will be 27. And then D gets a chance to make up all the ground. And when Jim says it's just a horse race, it really is. And it's a different horse race each time because of the fields that are involved. That's what's so neat about this. And that's what's so neat about being pace handicappers. Because if you have to have a horse with the best first fraction, best second fraction, best third fraction, you might just as well be making overall speed figures because that's the horse that comes up. That's the nice thing about pace. When you begin to match these things up internally, that's what gives you a huge edge out there, price-wise, percentage-wise, the whole ballgame.
I think even the in-gym with the predicting or showing what type of running style that this horse has will tell you when this D horse can hold on. This is going to tell you, say, hey, look, this is a viable variable. And you can see this because he finished as strong as some of the other horses. Now, see, A and B and C, they go out against each other faster. This happens in a horse race. One horse, if they all like to lead, one horse jumps out of the gate and the other's chasing.
They all want that
and if
lead.
They all want the lead, one of them will get the lead, but it will cost him valuable, valuable energy. And the 27 that Tom predicted on the last fraction isn't that far off. That's very, very close to what they would run.
That's then what he's going to teach you tomorrow. He's going to teach you that tomorrow. Now, here's another thing I want you all to do until you become very astute at this. Why do we do the pluses and the O's? The pluses tell us how a horse runs when he's winning or coming in second or third or within a couple of lengths. Don't just do one pace line in the beginning. It's so easy with this program to average, using the average factor, take one horse and stick it in there. Take him off of three different plus place pace lines. And see how that horse runs consistently. What some of you cannot see, which I think probably the difference between you and us, is that you focus on one, you're so anxious to get a winner, have a computer produce a winner, that you focus on one race only. And it might be a deviant race. When you get used to taking two or three lines for a horse, you will know that horse. You'll know him well. One time he may go out at 21-1 and win the race because that day he was just feeling so great and the other competition didn't try to keep up with him. But does he do that every time? You want to determine a horse's style from at least three plus pace line. If one of them's deviant, scratch it. If you have an IBM, you can scratch it right away, incidentally, or an IBM compatible. Or even any desktop. Scratch it right away and then see what the two non-deviant races average out. The thing that Tom was explaining to Andy Barr is quite simply in this profile right here. This horse has to have the lead to win, and he runs 70-something median energy. If he has to have the lead today, he might even exceed 70-something to try to keep that lead. And if he's got some horses who can press him or who can sustain their early longer, they're going to beat him. Now, if you take that, did anybody run that buyer example race to the computer? I
asked. I have it right here.
Okay. What was the median energy of A?
2.089.69.1.
They all had what? Then 69.1, right? Okay, what did B have?
69.27. 69.26 for C. And 68.65 for D.
Now you would know that the move in the second fraction would probably sustain itself to the end. The horse has got the... Andy put in the final time, but screwed it up. But that horse, what you have to say is, that horse who moved on them
What's the psychological advantage he's got? He's got that impetus. He's got that drive. And he probably won't slow down to a 25 and whatever it was, third fraction. The other horses probably will because they exerted so much energy to keep that lead. The A and D horse exerted so much energy to get that lead that they're not going to run those final fractions that Andy gave them. They're going to peter out, and C is going to sustain that second call fraction because he did not use up his energy in the first. That's the real point Tom was trying to make to Byron. That those horses are through at the second call because they went at each other from the first fraction on. And they've petered out. They've died by the second call, and C easily overtakes them, and probably D will be the place horse. So by making a track profile with your energy generator velocity version, you will be able to project what their third fraction will be today. Now that's something Tom is going to dwell on tomorrow, projecting race times from these kinds of figures, from this knowledge. And he is acknowledged as the greatest projector making variance today. We all project in our own way, but ours is more difficult to explain than his. Well, he's writing the book and not us. Andy, there have got to be some questions on this, because if there are no questions on this, you might as well go home and start, quit your job and start winning, because this will do it. Joe?
What computer uses this new program?
Don't we have it for all computers, Jimmy? Jimmy, we have it for all computers now, don't we?
Yeah.
We have it even for the 1350 and 60. We have it for the IBM. This happens to be IBM readout. We have it for the Commodore, and we have it for the Coco. And anybody here have a Mac? I've got a guy doing it for the Apple, and he will also do it for the Mac, but that will be a little bit down the road. So we have it for Apple, Commodore, Coco, IBM aren't compatible. It's a brand new program. A grand, brand new program. This program was designed purely to overcome about 40% of those questions you all asked that you wanted to have solved. Yes, sir?
You're talking about energy now.
No, I'm not. This is a velocity. You didn't have a chance to read it. There are two engines. One is for energy users and one is for velocity users. This is the velocity program. These are velocity figures, not energy figures. You can win a lot with velocity. Yes, sir, Chuck?
Howard, the thing that disturbs me with this is race tracks change. A race track can go to from an early pace track to a sustained track. Your program doesn't seem to take that into account at all. The whole pattern of results can change.
Certainly. How do you do it every day? Program does take that into consideration. More than anything else.
And this is the flaw. You point out the flaw of people who say, yeah, they get this idea and they think, oh, great, I need 6 months of data now on my track to see the general list of the track. What you really want are the last 2 days, okay, so you can see those changes. So that, you know, the average guy at the monitor says, yeah, speed's holding up, when it's not. Or you will know precisely when the track changes. Because this is something that you keep every day, every day, every day. And then when you begin to know your track, so for example, you know usually at Saratoga, the sprints run at 69.4, 69.5 for 6 furlongs. Then you know when you have a couple of days that are running, you know, 70.2 for the winter, then you have an extremely, a track that's really favoring the early horses. And conversely, when you see the track, the winner is coming out with 68.4, that's when you have a tremendous advantage over the rest of the crowd. Because maybe there hasn't been any weather change at all. But nonetheless, these horses are winning. Ours is not to wonder why. Just go and take the sustained horses now and favor them over the horses. You don't know why. I have no idea. There are all kinds of theories. You don't really need to know. And that's the beauty of it. Yeah, you won't see it from just the list. But take the engine and run it at the end of one day and then a full next day and then the beginning of the other day. And sometimes you'll see that trend very graphically change. You'll see the program will say early press, and then you'll see nothing but sustained. You know, don't question, just go with that.
I've always suggested. The one advantage the handheld computer has over the You should really have one of each, and when you're winning a lot of money, buying one of each will mean nothing to you. Go out there and clock that first race every day with your handheld, with this program. It's a lot better than just the variant program that's in there now. It'll tell you all the factors of that first race. Determine whether that first race was a low, high, or average, and say to yourself, hey, that was a high race, and they ran 70% median. Yesterday, high was 68.40. It may be deviant. You want to be very careful in betting the second race on that basis, but you've got a clue. Dick Schmidt will tell you that he does that, and when he senses a change, he goes with it immediately.
Don't make up your mind that a track is changing on the ancient concept of linear velocity. Just because you perceive that sustained horses are winning, sustained horses can win on the lead. Don't just go out and say, hey, my track is changing. This is an old concept. I don't think the horse racing God meant this to be as much as it really people think that it affects the running style of the horse. Yes, some tracks do. I do not deny this. I deny many instances because the matchup depicts how this race is going to set up and run. Many people have the concept that I like to call him at Ex-Harbin, Terry Track Bias Wallace. This happened while we were in Nebraska. For 3 days, they said that there was a bias on the inside of the track. For 3 days, not an inside horse won. Howard and I, we had the horses. The fourth day, on television in front of the people, they said, well, we've been wrong on the bias all week. So today we're not going to go with a track bias, but we're going to pick the best horses. You know, it took them 3 days to figure this out, that there was no bias, because they're basing it upon the ancient concept. And when I'm saying ancient, I'm talking that how it started is 10 years above any handicap in the country. We're saying ancient. When you look at a race, you say, hey, this race is going to run early. And it doesn't run early. This is what you perceive with your eye in looking at the race with the ancient linear velocity concept. And I told you what velocity is. It's a bullet coming out of a gun. Horses don't run that way. Horses run against each other. That'll be the race tomorrow. Easy Goer, Clever Trevor. Say, well, Clever Trevor is the early horse. I haven't even looked at the farm. Said he's won everywhere early. Today it favors so-and-so. Can Clever Trevor beat Easy Goer? Surprised if they like that meat he does, but, you know. There's a question over here.
The track-to-track adjustment derived from the engine program, would that be more accurate than the automatic synergism program for shippers?
Well, if you're using synergism, and are you winning with it?
I haven't started.
Okay, well, if you're using synergism with the automatic and it's working, then don't worry about it. It's not working, then you have to take the next step. Any of you who are winning with what you've got, for golly's sake, don't add burdens to yourself. Keep doing what you're doing to win. That's what we're here for, to get you to be winners. I'm talking about those who have these deep concerns about making these adjustments. This is how you do it. But don't forget now, you can't take a horse from Suffolk that runs 56.80 and go to Aqueduct where they run 58 and figure you're going to adjust him to 56 to 58. You've got to take it, consider the track class adjustment. Take that away from his adjustment.
Nor slow horses.